Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to KGW's 3-on-3 Blazers. My name is Orlando Sanchez, Jared Cowley on my right, Nate Hansen on my left, the one and only Max Barr on the ones and twos. We've got the squad back together. We're at full strength, baby.
How good does it feel to just, when you were going to talk right off the bat, to know I have this down, it's just habit. Unlike last week where we caught you off guard a little.
It was, man. I feel like the Portland Trailblazers right now. I know my role. I know where I need to be.
There's chemistry.
Everyone's
here.
In position.
I feel good, man.
I
feel best of all because Max is back, and that means I don't have to try and do
all the pressure's off, man.
Right.
Get to use your talents.
Max,
they're supposed to be.
Say something to the people since you're back.
They've
so they know
you.
You're back.
It's good to be back. I'm getting my bop back. I'm getting my bounce back.
Ooh! I see what he did there, man.
All right.
Let's get down to it. The Portland Trailblazers have started to win some games.
It's been fun.
You know, this Carmelo Anthony train has been really exciting to witness here in Portland. People are just really embracing him. They've fallen in love with him. Arguably the biggest star they've had come in since Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Pretty fair.
Absolutely.
And it's been a lot of fun, and it's always even better when they're winning games around here. People are digging the Blazers right now.
Yeah, we talked last week. Wasn't one of the fan questions last week, like, how long does the mellow honeymoon last?
Yeah.
And we tried to put a timetable on it, and I think Jared or Orlando, one of you, I think, said like a month.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I gave it like another 2 weeks, and I'm thinking a month may not be enough now with the way he's playing right now and the way, as you said, the fan base has totally embraced him, and he's embraced playing for this team this year and just being back in the NBA. Like, it has really provided a spark for this team and has been a turning point for them this season.
This team is just so much more fun to watch now, and yeah, the wins help, but it's not just the wins. They're just playing a different – I don't know. It almost seems like a different style of basketball. It's not something we've seen here in Portland for years, where they have more than two or three offensive threats. And even last season when they had Nurkic, they still just had three guys you could rely on offense. And now they have, you know, Carmelo Anthony, who's turned back the clock and is playing as well as he has in years.
And Rodney Hood has continued to be one of the best three-point shooters in the league. Hassan Whiteside has improved his play over the last week or two, so it seems to finally all be clicking for the Blazers after they went through hell for the first month of the season.
Yeah, man, it was reinvigorating. And even being at the Sacramento Kings game, there was a moment when Carmelo missed his shot, followed it, missed his putback, got it again, bullied his way to get that layup. And the Moda Center just went crazy. It was like the place came to life. And I had that moment where I looked up and said, this is hilarious seeing Carmelo Anthony here in Portland. Like, we joked about this for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And this is the reality of it. And in a lot of ways, he's helped to maybe save the season to some extent with the way things have gone so far.
Granted, if he had come either of the previous two seasons we talked about him coming to Portland, I can't say it would have gone as well as this. I think the timing of everything, Dame and CJ, the Blazers making that run to the Western Conference Finals last year, I think gave them respect league-wide and gave respect to someone like Melo, like, hey, we are really close. We don't need you to come in here and change this whole thing up. We have a good thing established here. And him being away from the league and just wanting to play again, I think all of that has made for what has been a very perfect marriage so far through about 3 weeks.
And I thought it was interesting to hear Carmelo talk over the past week or so, and he's doing a ton of interviews right now from a lot of different places. And even talking to Jay Allen, Rip City Radio, who gets a chance to talk to them on a nightly basis, is specifically on the road. And he said that there was an opportunity on Sunday where there wasn't a lot of media around, so there were only a few of them talking to him. And Carmelo, he said, opened up a little more just about what he signed up for and him not really knowing what he was getting into when he went to Houston.
Yeah.
Whereas in Portland, he had a way better idea of what he was entering and what his role would be, as opposed to, oh, I'm coming off the bench now? Like, what?
Yeah.
Whereas the Blazers gave him some specific, you know, instructions on what they were hoping to accomplish in this new, you know, agreement. And it's been a fit. It's been really cool.
I think that's part of the reason, and I'm not justifying him being out of the league for a year because he shouldn't have been, but I think that's part of the reason he was out of the league for a year, because I think after what happened in Houston, he and his team demanded that he had a specific role. And like you said, that those specifics were laid out in advance. Mm-hmm. And for everything to fall in place the way it did in Portland, to where it's just a perfect situation for him and the team, it's surreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you needed a team as desperate as Portland, because from everyone else, including the Blazers, when they went into the season and had the guys they expected to have, weren't interested in Melo, because at the time, his last two stops didn't go so well, despite, you know, what we've seen in Portland through 3 weeks so far. He seems to be a great teammate and a guy players love to play with, but he still had that rep league-wide of maybe being a little too much to handle. And so you factored all that in, you're thinking to yourself, okay, yeah, he could be maybe our starting power forward or maybe a bench guy, but we have to go through all these hoops and ladders just to explain to him what we expect. I'm not going to go through all that. Yeah, you know, I don't need that. But you get a team like Portland who is desperate for a spark, desperate for some offensive output, and they were willing to go through those hoops and do that. And I think it's one of the reasons that it has started off so strong, this relationship.
All right, guys, you know the drill. There's three questions. There's three answers because there's three of us. You can catch those on KGW.com. Question number one, what has impressed you the most about the Blazers over the past five games?
I think I want to start because I want Nate to go first on question number two.
Okay. Ooh. Let's go ahead. Go start, Jared. I know where Jared's going
that
on question number.
That is a teaser.
That is a teaser, and I know exactly where he's going on question number two. But go ahead. Start us off with
I love
first
this.
One.
I think that you may expect me to talk about the rebounding, because I've talked about the rebounding incessantly on this podcast this season. And I am impressed by what they've done rebounding the ball over the past five games. I mean, this was one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA before Carmelo Anthony got here. And over the past five games, they rank second in defensive rebounds per game and fourth in total rebounds per game. And I don't know what has changed. It's not just Carmelo, but something has changed. But that's not actually what has impressed me most. I wanted to point that out because they have been better. But I've been most impressed with their high-scoring balance on offense.
Yeah.
What you saw last night against the Kings, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, Hassan Whiteside, and Carmelo Anthony all scored 20 points or more.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was the first time that that's happened for the Blazers, where four players scored 20 or more since the 2015 playoffs. And it happened in a loss against the Grizzlies. And it takes you back to, it was Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum who got those, it must have been off the bench or something, Nick Batum and LaMarcus Aldridge. And it was in a loss. So it's been a long time since something like that has happened. But what's even more impressive to me is how close in these past five games the Blazers have been to doing that in multiple games.
Yeah.
Against the Thunder, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Hassan Whiteside, they all scored more than 20. And Anthony was just... Melo was 1 point away. He had 19. Against the Bulls, Lillard, McCollum, and Melo all scored more than 20. And Rodney Hood nearly joined them with 19 points. Whiteside, he only had 8 points in that game, but we'll forgive him because he is on his way to, you know, a franchise record 10 blocks and 15 boards.
That's not too shabby.
No, not too bad at all. I think that what you've seen with this team is adding one more high-octane scorer in Carmelo Anthony is – exactly what this offense needed. You've seen the way that it's not just that he's performing at a high level, which he absolutely is, but he demands attention from the defense. And that opens up things for everyone that he plays with. I mean, you see there's more freedom for CJ McCollum. Yeah. You know, Rodney Hood is playing some of his best basketball of the season right now. Hassan Whiteside is absolutely playing his best basketball of the season. And Damian Lillard, even though his scoring is down, he is playing the point like he's never played it before. Yeah. And it's impressive to watch. So for me, I think the Blazers are on the verge of having kind of a poor man's version of a big four.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not something that the Blazers have ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you think about looking ahead to when Yusuf Nurkic comes back and thinking of a lineup with Lillard, McCollum, Hood, Melo, and Nurkic, and the way Nurkic operates in the pick and roll and finding cutters and finding, you know, open shooters in the corners. I mean,
just think Hassan Whiteside had awesome. 7 assists
right.
last yeah. game. Can you imagine what Yusuf Nurkic does
yeah.
in those situations, just based on Nurkic's elite, you know, passing skill set?
Nurkic in this offense would be really fun to watch. I just, mm-hmm. going a little bit off topic, I just wonder if we'll ever get to see it, because we have no idea yeah. what this Blazers roster right. is going to look like come
true.
The time Yusuf Nurkic right. is actually able to play.
In just a
like
few
we've
months.
Got, we've yeah. gone, we've already gone through so many roster and lineup changes that yeah. we haven't even gotten to the point where we expect roster changes for
fair.
The Blazers this
they've,
year.
They've settled in for like a couple of days, and we're yeah. already pushing to yeah. Change the lineup a little bit when yeah. Nurkic comes back.
No kidding. I'm totally with Jared just yeah. on terms on the offensive production, because one of the things we had talked about when the Blazers were sputtering is not only was their defense bad, but their offense was league-wide average, which is not where we're used to this offense being. We're used to this offense being at least top 10, if not a top 5 offense in yeah. terms of efficiency and offensive rating. And what have they done over these last 5 games? They've returned to being a top 5 offense in the NBA. Their offensive rating, 115. Their field goal percentage, 3rd best in the NBA at 49%. 3-point percentage is 12th in the NBA at 37.7%. Those are things we're used to seeing yep. from Blazers offense in the past. But I think what they're doing now is we're not seeing as many guys have to contribute in order to get to that number. And you can argue that's a bad thing, but you can also argue it's a good thing, because Portland's got 4 or 5 guys that every night, at least over these last 5 games, have consistently been high outputters on offense and can be high outputters night in and night out. And so for Portland, that's what I've been easily most impressed with. In addition, singularly with, I'm going to continue to talk about Melo, because last week, we were talking about, you know, can 25-8 or whatever he had against the Bulls in Chicago, can that be expected of him moving forward? And we were like, well, obviously he's not going to average 25. Mm-hmm. But one number we discussed was, how about 18 points mm-hmm. per game? Orlando and I were on the same page saying that seems a little high. No way, 18. Jared, you seem to think that it could potentially be a ceiling for him, 18 yeah. points per game. During these last 5 games, he's averaging 19 points
yep.
per game.
Yep.
And so, granted, it's still a small sample size and mostly against bad teams, but I can't help but be impressed, because this is not the Melo and the impact that we expected he would have on this team coming in. Western Conference Player of the Week. I mean, come on.
It's wild, man.
It's crazy. And so I'm still just uber impressed with him, and I'm still kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall, mm-hmm. but I'm getting closer to thinking maybe this is going to be the Melo the Blazers have for the rest of the year. And if so, Neil Olshey, huge credit to him for making this move.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's – Carmelo Anthony is what impresses me most about
yeah.
all of this. Still, you're taking a guy off the street
yeah.
that hasn't played in a year, inserting him into a starting lineup, and asking him to play 30 minutes per game.
Yeah.
And he's making an impact on this team.
And
it's just – this couldn't have gone any better so far.
No.
For the Portland Trailblazers, like there have been some down games in between, but man, to have that type of impact from a guy, I don't know how you predict that. And so
no.
the Blazers to see that foresight, and for everyone to be on the same page and have this fit together collectively and things mesh all together, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
And to get this so quickly on the right page, on a lighter scale or a grander scale, is the other thing I'm impressed about is they're winning games again.
Yeah.
Like, Like, they're beating teams that they were supposed to when 2 weeks ago, we didn't know what games they were supposed to win anymore.
Well, we didn't, yeah. Now we didn't think there were any automatic W's
anymore.
Yeah,
now I can at least look at the schedule again and say, hey, they've got a ton of home games against teams with below 500 records that I expect them to win.
Absolutely.
And after that Cleveland game, man, I didn't feel that way about this team. I was truly concerned about the way this season was going to go after that game.
And I think Melo, just going back to the offense, because Jared talked about Damian Lillard, and I just want to hit on this a little bit more because of the fact, I mean, could you imagine the Blazers are 4-1 in the last five games and Damian Lillard's averaging 21.6 points per game? Could you imagine any time in the last 4 years that would have been possible for the Blazers, regardless of the competition they were playing, that they could win 4 out of 5 with Dame only averaging 21.5 per game? Yeah, it helps CJ has been red hot. It helps Melo's been great. It helps, obviously, Hassan Whiteside has a better connection with Dame and his role of this offense than he has at any point through the season. But he's averaging 8 assists per game, Damian Lillard. That's also a number we've never seen before. So he's now making his impact more on the game than just scoring. And hopefully for the Blazers, there's a long game with this. So we talked about earlier in the year, all those stressful minutes he was putting on, having to carry the Blazers and do all the scoring for them. Hopefully these last five games, and maybe with this lineup moving forward, you can continue to have less stressful minutes for Damian Lillard, where you have, like last night, he doesn't seem to be doing that much, and then all of a sudden, bam, bam, he hits you with a couple big threes at the end of the game, and game over.
I'm so glad you brought that up, that both of you brought up Damian Lillard, because that's what I was thinking about in last night's game.
Yeah.
He was playing as a true point guard.
Yeah.
Like, he had control of that game. And even though it was close for the majority of it, I was just waiting for his moment. And it hit about the 6-minute mark, and he just took over.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, he had 10 assists. It just felt like it was his game, and he was in control of it. And he didn't need to score 35 or 40 to feel that way. And that's what you want to see out of your point guard.
Do you know how many minutes he's averaging per game in the past five games?
I didn't look this up, but I'm going to guess 31.
32.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean, it's just like you said, like, whatever's going right now that's going right is allowing him and CJ to play fewer minutes, which is really important for this team if they want to continue to build towards the playoffs and have any chance of doing something in the playoffs.
Yeah. And those shots aren't coming up short from the logo.
No.
They're going in, man.
Yep. They're going in now.
And that's huge. All right, question number two. I've been waiting for this.
This is the teaser.
We had to get through question one just to get to this one, man.
I know. Damian Lillard and Melo talk. How dare we?
Sabotaging the pod, man. All right, number two. The Blazers have won 4 of 5, and though they surely won't win 80% of their games going forward, do you expect the Blazers to sustain the improved level of play they've shown over the past five games? Has the team righted the ship?
I think what this real question is, when Jared came up with these two questions late last night after the Blazers win, I think the real question is, has Nate jumped ship again? I think this is the real question.
Yeah, I 100% agree with
that. That's how I should have wrote it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Is Nate willing to jump ship again? And if the Blazers stay healthy, yes, they can sustain this level of play. Yes, they have righted the ship. Yes, they will make the playoffs. And I'm back on board, baby. Let's roll. Let's do this.
Oh, man.
We got 4 months left. Let's finish strong. Let's do this. I mean, last week,
he was saving us a seat just the other day.
So last week after
I'm still keeping that boat close by. I'm not totally ditching it yet.
Last week after Nate refused to jump ship, we made a little fun of Nate on Twitter, and I put a gif of flipping pancakes on Twitter.
Flip-flop.
And I think it really offended Nate. So I'm glad to see that were able to look past that and make
the right Orlando, choice. I know Jared remembers my response to the flip-flop gif. Do you remember what my response was to Jared there on Twitter? It definitely showed that I was offended. Because I responded with a gif of my own with a big donut zero saying, Jared's Rip It wins this year, which
cold,
we'll get
man.
To, is still zero, my friend.
I think your gif was more offensive than mine.
Yeah, probably. It probably cut you a little deeper than mine did. It's just to the power of Max and Rip It right there.
Yeah.
But no, I'm back on board. I'm back on board, and the reason I didn't want to jump last week was because I didn't want to overreact to one game against Chicago, and because I listed four or five things, like they need these things to happen night in and night out for them to win games. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, over the four games they played since the first time they played Chicago, those things have happened. Melo has continued to be an offensive scoring threat for the Blazers. Hassan Whiteside, I'm not exactly sure what all has happened to make him play so well over these last five games, but ever since he returned to the starting lineup and this starting five has grouped together, he looks way more comfortable in the Blazers offense than we had seen earlier in the season. Dame and him seem to be much more on the same page in terms of their pick and roll. They're putting the ball in Hassan's hands in order for him to make the correct reads and decisions on do you go to the basket or do you find the open shooter on either side of you. And it seems they're entrusting him more with that, and more he seems to be making the right decisions with that. And we talked about, Melo talked about, he seemed to have his bounce and bop back after the Chicago game. It seems to me, just by watching, it seems like Whiteside has his back, too.
I agree.
And that has just been a huge plus for the Blazers, because my biggest question mark last week, in terms of all the things I listed, was I didn't believe you could get nightly consistent efforts out of Hassan Whiteside, and he's given him that over this five-game stretch. And if you can continue to have that and this dominant starting five that they have had, the bench is doing enough to keep them afloat right now, just so the starters can get back in, continue to build the lead, or close the game out in the final few minutes of the game. And so if they can continue to do this, yes, this team has righted the ship, and they are a playoff team again. Now, are they the playoff team that they hope to be at the beginning of the year? No. I still think they're probably a 7 or an 8 seed right now in the Western Conference, which would mean an early playoff exit. But considering how dire things were 2 weeks ago, the fact that I now think that they probably are the 7th best team in the West right now is a remarkable quick turnaround.
Whiteside deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's played recently. And even after the Sacramento game last night, he admitted or talked about how this is the best he's felt all year.
Right.
So it's even a health thing with him. He's been pretty banged up.
Yeah.
And so that just adds to the flow and how comfortable he's getting around his teammates. And there was a moment during the game where he got frustrated and he punched
the
side of the, what do they call it, the stanchion?
Yeah.
Or whatever, the padding there. He punched it, and immediately CJ turned and, like, gave him the look, like, of a mad parent. Like, don't do that. And then Melo was kind of like the guy in between that was like, like, be cool. Like, just chill.
CJ was the mad dad, and Melo came in as the proud mama. It was just like, just be a little bit smarter.
Yes, and that's and you saw that. Yeah. So you saw that family dynamic that was going on with them, where they know, hey, we need to deal with Hassan in a certain way in order for him to produce the way that he has. And that's a good sign to see that they know different ways to be there to support him, but let him know, hey, you've got to act right. You've got to do certain things. So, but right now he's getting it done.
I think I like this question because it allows us to still be optimistic, because mm-hmm. we've been really, really optimistic. I mean, Melo's the greatest thing.
We're talking about a 9-13 basketball team right now.
Yep.
But so
Max is laughing as I say that.
If you look at what the Blazers are doing right now over the past five games, they got beat handily by an elite team.
Yes.
They beat a couple mediocre teams in the Thunder and the Kings, and they beat one bad team twice in the Bulls. Yep. And so if that's what we're talking about, then yes, I think that with this new roster and the way they're playing, I think they can absolutely do that. And that's a big deal, because like you guys said, we didn't know what to expect from the Blazers earlier this season. Seemingly they were losing to everybody. It didn't matter what team it was or how many players they had injured, the Blazers were losing games. But I think that they have so much more offensive fire and power and balance now that they can overwhelm less talented teams. Yes. And one of the Blazers' keys to success last season, and really as they've been successful during the Stotts and Lillard era, is that they beat the bad teams. They beat the teams they're supposed to. And they, especially last season, that was so important. And they were not doing that earlier this season. And I think that they can now start to do that the rest of the season. And I think that puts Portland in a good enough spot that they can be in the driver's seat for those final few playoff spots in the West. You look at them right now, they're one game behind the 8th place Suns. They're two games behind the 7th place Timberwolves.
They're better than both those teams right now.
And they're three games behind the 6th place Utah Jazz, who are really, really playing bad basketball right now.
Yeah, they've been reeling over the last week.
You're going to get that fan base going?
I just think that...
picking on the Jazz.
It's happening again.
Picking on the Jazz. Are the Blazers better than the Jazz right now, Jared?
I don't know if I'm ready to go
I was hoping yes.
They're playing better basketball than the Jazz are right now, but whether they're a better team, I don't know. But I think that they can absolutely challenge all those teams for up to the 6th seed. Okay. And I think they can do that, and then you see what happens at the trade deadline. You know, a little bit after that, hopefully they get Yusuf Nurkic back. Maybe a little bit after that, they get Zach Collins back. And then you go into the playoffs as a 6th seed, or maybe even, you know, really stretching it, a 5 seed or something like that. And who knows? Because this team at full strength seems really scary to me. And so I think the future is really bright right now. So it's not only do I think they can sustain what they're doing right now, but I think you can build to something where they can really take a big step forward maybe later this season.
I think we learned a lot about this team over the past week.
Yeah.
One, we learned they're nowhere near elite.
Right.
They got smacked by 20 against the Clippers. But we also found out they're not as bad as we once thought they could be.
Yes.
By beating the teams they were supposed to. And I thought they did it with somewhat of ease. I know it appeared close on the scoreboard for a while there with the back and forth, but it felt like a game that you were just waiting for them to take over Sacramento.
I felt the same way about the Bulls game here in Portland. Like, it was close, but never did I think the Bulls were actually going to beat the Blazers in that game.
And so I think that we've now learned a little more about this team and what it can be, because it just felt like, they're going to lose. A couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, they're going to lose every game, man. Yeah. Like, maybe they'll steal one is what I'm thinking. They were losing.
They lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Cavs. They lost to the Pelicans.
Yeah.
The Kings, when they were really struggling at the start of the season, because the Kings, first 7 games, Kings versus what they've been since Kings, are two different teams. The team they beat last night was much better than the team they lost to when they went down to Sacramento.
So I think the reason why this pod is so optimistic at 9-13 is because, one, it's not as bad as we thought they were going to be. Right. And now it's like, well, if all of these things come together the way that they have the potential to move up a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And because Jared and I, we didn't count them out, even though the man on my left did. And we thought that they would figure this out.
I think Max is the man on your left.
No. He's talking about you.
And we thought, you know what, they're going to right this ship. And a lot of that has to do with there's a lot of bad teams. There's a lot of bad teams out there that they can move up pretty quickly.
And it's not going to take as many wins to make the playoffs this year as it would have in the past. You know, the past couple of years, it took around 47 wins to get that 8 seed. This year, it's not going to, which is why they're only a game behind the Suns, who are the 8 seed, and 2 games behind the Timberwolves, who are the 7 seed. And we don't expect those teams to be much better than 500. Yeah. And so the gap the Blazers need to make up is not near as significant as it may have been a year or two ago.
I thought question number 2 delivered. I'm glad that we were able to hear Nate flip-flop once again.
I'm glad we're all on the same ship again, guys. So, I was kind of lonely over there.
Man.
It was
good.
It was riding. It had some steam a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to lie.
Last week, you weren't really on that ship.
Mashed potatoes over there.
So, you know, it's good to have Nate back. I'm sure he'll leave us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And
like I said, I'm keeping it close by.
That's good. All right, question number 3. You guys know the drill. It's prediction time. The Blazers play 3 games before we record our next podcast. They host the Lakers, who are 19-3 on Friday.
Unbelievable.
The Thunder, 8-12 on Sunday, and the Knicks, 4-17 on Tuesday.
Bring on the Knicks, baby!
Which games do the Blazers win, and which games do they lose?
Well, let's go back to how we've done so far this year. We all had a perfect week last week. Yep. We all said the Blazers would win the 3 games they won, and we all said they would lose to the Clippers. So, well done, gentlemen. Our second perfect week, the second time this year.
Bravo.
We all had a perfect week. Orlando, you still have a 1-game lead. You're 15-7 overall. Jared and I are 1 game back at 14-8.
Those are pretty nice looking
on
records.
The season predictions. Imagine how great we would be talking about the Blazers if they had that record right now.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So let's go to the games. This week, I'll start off with this. They host the Lakers, and as we just talked about, while the Blazers are better, they're still, to me, obviously a tier or maybe even two tiers below the Clippers, the two Los Angeles teams. And the Lakers are not only 19-3, they've won 10 games in a row on the road. So, yes, this game is at home in Portland, which you would think gives the Blazers a better shot. But I don't see how they beat the Lakers. Portland loses that one. And they beat the Thunder again and the Knicks. Yeah, they win that one too. 2-1, predictable again. I'm expecting another perfect week. Yep.
There's no way we're...
No, no one's going to go. No one, Jared, you pick him to beat the Lakers?
I can't imagine.
And I talked about this yesterday, and Jared gave me a little bit of
a hint that maybe he
would pick Portland to beat the Lakers. Jared, did you do it?
Do it.
All right, so I am picking the Blazers to beat the Thunder and the Knicks.
Oh!
I knew we couldn't do it.
No.
I knew we couldn't do it.
I want to pick the Blazers to beat the Lakers because, guys, the Blazers, they need a signature win.
Yeah.
That's, you know how many wins they have against teams with a winning record this season?
One?
Yep.
The Mavericks.
They beat the Mavericks way back on October 27th, the game that Zach Collins got hurt.
Yep.
The rest of their 8 wins this season are against teams that have an average record of 7-14.
All right. But that's like what the Blazers' record is. They're close to it right now.
So they need a signature win, and this is the Lakers coming into town, and it's at home, and you remember – the season opener last season when LeBron came in and the Blazers took care of business and beat the Lakers.
Not near as good of a team coming in, but yes.
The Lakers, they rank 6th in offense and 4th in defense, and I don't think Portland's ready to beat a team like that at this point. So I'm also going with a loss to the Lakers. Sorry, guys.
Oh, Jared, you let us down. I jump ship for you, and then this is what you give me?
I really
you can't even pick them to beat the rival?
I really thought about it. I'd love to pick them to beat the Lakers, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I wanted to get reckless.
Did you? Well, my question for you, Orlando, was did you pick them to lose to the Knicks?
No, man.
No, you weren't going that far?
This is easy money.
Okay.
This week is easy money. Very similar to last week. It just seems like a very predictable week based on their recent performances and beating bad teams and losing to the good ones. And so this seems like a pretty straightforward week and not one I'm willing to gamble on. I'll gamble.
You're not willing to gamble that one game lead on the Knicks or the Lakers?
I'll get reckless, though. Don't worry. I always do. There are weeks where I just let it fly, but this isn't one of them. This one seems a little too easy. 2-1 type of week.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, I'm tired of our questions. I think we may have some listener questions.
You've got mail.
Sure enough. We got some more questions from the listeners out there. Thanks again to everyone who submitted a question to us.
We appreciate you.
First one's from Ben Finnegan. Ben says, hey, guys, after hearing Chris Webber talk about the Blazers' ISO offense all night against the Clippers, do you think he's onto something? Is it time for a few new wrinkles in the offense? I know Melo is still new, but he took the ISO style a little too seriously tonight.
So, I mean, I hear what Chris Webber is saying, but that's with the injuries and the players the Blazers have right now. Like, it wasn't like it was just the Clippers game that they were running ISO. They do this against everyone with the current starting five they have right now. And yeah, against an elite defensive team like the Clippers, who are just better than the Blazers to start with, yeah, it didn't look so good. But it's who you are. If you're winning games this way, and this is the team you have moving forward, just keep rolling with it, and yeah, you're going to have tough nights. If the Blazers have nights where they're not shooting the ball, they're really going to struggle to win games. But when you don't have Yusuf Nurkic and you don't have Zach Collins, but you do have Melo, Rodney Hood, Dame, and CJ, of course you're going to be running some more ISO. And so I thought it was a little overblown during the broadcast.
Yeah, it was blatant. I mean, it was... That offense was so stagnant in that game.
Yeah.
And
In the second half.
And I can understand where Webber was coming from, because that's really when he let it rip, was in the third quarter.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, and so I can understand that, but anyone who's watched Terry Stotts' teams, especially recently, like, this is the style of play that they have. And Jamie Goldberg with the Oregonian asked Coach Stotts that pregame on Wednesday. And I mean, it was a roundabout nice way of asking about, you know, the lack of ball movement and, you know, being one of the worst teams in assists. And Stotts, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically was saying, I've got to play to my guys' strengths.
Right. Yeah.
And these are the guys we have right now. And this is what gives us the best chance to win.
I mean, we talked about it. The past five games, they rank fourth in offense. So something's working. Listen, I mean, this ISO stuff is completely overblown. Mm-hmm. 10% of their plays on offense are ISO plays. Yeah. That's not a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're really good at ISO. Yeah. You know, they're the best ISO scoring team in the NBA.
Play to your strength.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 10%. Yep. I think it's completely overblown.
I can understand it visually when you're watching
sure.
it.
Sure. Well, and I can understand if we get to like the playoffs and say the Blazers are the seventh seed and they have to play the Clippers. Like, is if
right,
this is the roster they're going to have moving forward and they're going to have to play a ton of ISO. Yeah, they're going to struggle and they'll lose that series in four or five against the Clippers. But like I said, the Clippers are just a better team
right.
than the Blazers
right.
also. So I, you know, when you're not facing competition that's obviously so much better than the team you have moving forward, like, I think it's hard to criticize it when it's also been working.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, really quick, that game was, I mean, Ben was right about that game. Yeah. Like, they didn't pass the ball a lot. It was a really, you know, stagnant night on offense. But since, in the past five games, they're averaging a lot more passes per game than they are for their season average, mm-hmm. except for that Clippers game, which they were real way down. But they're averaging like 260 passes a game in these five games, which is a lot more than they're averaging for the season. So I think you've seen it. I've seen it on the court. It seems like the ball is moving around more.
Yeah.
That's quality stuff there, Jared. That's good stuff.
Digging into passes per game.
I like that.
I love that.
That's good. Woo.
All right. Next question from Kevin. You guys touched on this earlier, but his question is Melo's game affecting Damian Lillard's?
Yes. I can't tell. Maybe Kevin's just legitimately asking and wondering. I can't tell if there's a positive or a negative, you know, where he's coming from with this question. But yes, it is affecting Damian Lillard's game. And I think, as we talked about, in a good way, because mm-hmm. it's relieving pressure from him offensively. It's allowing him to kind of, we talked about Dame likes to sit back and evaluate what's in front of him.
Yeah.
And now he has that opportunity to do it more than ever because of the fact that he actually finally has so many offensive weapons around him, which is what he's wanted for forever. And so I think it's positively affecting Dame's game right now. You're not having to rely on him scoring 35 a night to win.
I agree. In the past five games, he's scoring less, but he has more assists. He's shooting better from the field, better from the three-point line, and he's playing fewer minutes. I think that if Melo's having any impact on Dame, it's a positive impact.
Yep, that's why he invited him to a Thanksgiving dinner, man.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, thanks. I got legs now.
He earned those mashed potatoes right there.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Kevin. That's a good one.
Greg wants to know, is beating Sacramento the best we can do this year?
Oh, I
hope not.
I feel like Greg may be the type of fan who, like, no matter what the Blazers do, he's just going to be unimpressed.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't.
I love the tone.
I do,
I love
too.
It.
Hopefully, as Jared said, hopefully they can do better than beating Sacramento this year. As we discussed, they did beat Dallas earlier this year. Granted, that was before they've really taken off the way they have. But, yes, I think they will have better wins than Sacramento this year. Who knows? Maybe even Friday night against the Lakers, but probably not.
Beating Sacramento is a good start.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, next up, this is from friend of the pod, Matthew, the Reverend Romulus.
What up, Matthew?
Yes.
He says, hey, guys, my kids are tired of me getting all my questions answered on the podcast and wanted me to submit a few of theirs.
Oh, this is a kids-friendly
cool.
program.
I love it. I love it.
I decided this was a perfect opportunity to email the show for the first time. Hope you enjoy the questions. All right, first one, this is from, he just gave us the first letter of their name, from O, age 6. Why were the Blazers losing all their games, and why are they winning all of them now?
Yeah.
Good question.
Good question. And it's because they finally have a group of players who work together well and are talented enough for them to win these games, and they've also played worse competition than what we saw moving forward, but I think it's mainly they finally have a group of 9 guys who work well together and are a talented group of 9 players.
And they're healthy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they're rebounding the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, next one from R, age 10. Is 10 blocks in a game something we should expect again from Hassan Whiteside this season, or is this a one-time occurrence?
I think you should expect it from CJ. I don't know about you guys. I'm waiting for. I'm now waiting for the CJ 10-block game after last night.
He had four early, man.
He
I
did.
Was thinking,
he was on his way. He should have been. He should have been block hunting last night. I think he could do it again this year. I could see him flirting with 10 again this year. Two, or maybe even three more times this year. So I'm going to say more than a one-time occurrence.
I'm going to say just the one time. I went back and looked at how many, you know, 10-block games he's had in his career since he became like a regular starter. So in the 2015-16 season, he had 8 games where he blocked 8 or more, 3 where he blocked 10 or more.
That's flirting with 10, 8.
But in the past 4 seasons, you know, 2016-17, 0. 2017-18, 0. Last season he had 1, and this season he has 1. So I think that this is probably as good as it gets as far as blocks. I mean, he did set a franchise record. Like, it's hard, it's hard to match that.
It is, but I think he's being asked to do less with the Blazers than he was with the Heat. So I think that could invite a game or two where maybe he does kind of go block hunting a little bit.
I hope so, because that was fun.
Yeah, I think it's a one-time thing as well, but it would be fun to see it happen again, and maybe he gets that triple-double. Terry Stotts has been joking around about that and how they want him to get it. And
he almost got 10 blocks, assists yesterday.
10 blocks it could be it. And, I mean, what if he does it with just blocks, assists, and rebounds?
Well, now that would be something
Don't even need the points, man.
Dude, point guard at 7-1. The other thing, I just realized this, the other thing going against me with that question is we don't know how long Hassan Whiteside will be a Blazer, so he may not have all season to get 10 blocks as a Blazer.
And then last question here from F, age 13. Is there a reason why Zach Collins is always scowling?
I love this one.
You got to have your game face, right? Yeah. Some guys are the tough guys.
I think it's because he's still in some discomfort, man. I mean, we finally saw him out of the sling yesterday. I think he's still in a little bit of pain. And, you know, you're not always going to be smiling when you're in pain all the time. I'm going to go with that's the reason why. I think Zach has a beautiful smile. He's just hiding it.
Well, F, this is such a good question that I am going to bring back story time.
Oh, wow. A season 2 throwback here.
Taking a deep breath right now.
I'm not prepared for this.
No.
Zach Collins' dad, his name is Mike, big guy, played
college
basketball.
Very big guy.
Was a bruiser, just played very physical basketball. He told a story about one time when Zach was in high school and he played for Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, and they played against another elite school that had 2 elite prospects on it. And according to Mike, Zach just dominated in that game. But he was talking trash all game long. And so after the game in the parking lot, someone from the other team came up to him and said, "Hey, I like the way you play, but you got to tone it down." And Mike's there with him, and Mike gets in this person's face.
Oh.
And then Zach pulls him back. He's like, "Come on, come on." And then Zach gets in the guy's face. So he gets it from his dad. His dad once said about Zach, "He's never backed down. He'll fight to the death for what he believes is right. He just doesn't care. He's going to fight for the team, and I know this sounds corny, but he's going to fight for Portland." And Zach blamed it on his dad. He said, "He has the same no back down mentality. It's just the way he raised me and my sister to not back down to anyone, regardless. He told us we deserve just as many opportunities as anyone, and that if someone comes for your stuff or tries to get at you, you have to go right back at them." And then if this is from, I'll give credit to Jason Quick. This is from an article from last season. Mike said that he remembered the way he talked to, because he coached Zach since he was like 4.
Yeah.
And he said that we always talked about 2 things: make the guy next to you better. And when you're out on that court as a big man, you have to not only be willing to go after your guy, but also his family.
Whoa.
That's a little extreme.
Wow. I think he's talking his basketball family.
I don't know.
The other 4 on the court.
Well, Mike said, "I know that sounds horrible, but that's the attitude you have to take." So he learned it from his dad, and Zach is just a surly dude. So that's why he always has a scowl.
I love that so much. Wow. That was good stuff as usual, Jared. Story time always delivers.
Wow, I liked that little dose we got there. Man, I kind of missed it after everything last year.
I thought stuff like that was all talk until I saw Zach out on the court as a Portland Trailblazer. Yeah. And he truly is not scared.
Yeah.
Like, he gets in there.
And he doesn't back down.
No,
what was it?
Wasn't it
the playoff series against the Pelicans when the Blazers got swept? Was it him and Rondo who got into it? Yeah, he doesn't
back
down.
And then we remember the game against the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Yeah. Klay Thompson last season.
Klay with the smile.
Yeah.
Great questions from the kids.
Wonderful
Thanks again,
questions.
Matthew. By the way, he says, P.S., everyone really missed Max on the show.
Oh, no.
I concur.
We did. We did, too. We agree.
Wow.
I take this as a threat. I feel like I'm losing the love from Matthew's family. Yeah. I feel like they may have a new top dog in the household. I can't let this stand.
Oh, man, you're dropping in the rankings, man.
I think I need a Rip It championship to win their love over again.
Wow, the insecurity just shining through. I'm like Nate. I do it for the kids. We really appreciate you submitting your questions. And there is actually one more question.
Oh.
Are we ready to rip it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he got me.
It is so good to be back.
It is good to have
you
back. We didn't know how to end last week's show without ripping. We really struggled with it.
I heard it was a bit of a struggle.
Yes.
We had no game last week. I was out of town for Thanksgiving. I just want to say how thankful I am to everyone who listens to this podcast and who listens this far into the podcast.
Yes.
Because that means you obviously enjoy Rip It.
Yes.
We all appreciate everybody out there. So thanks again. So let's refresh where we stand in the Rip It universe.
Right.
Last
I know
time
where
we
Jared
played.
Stands.
Well, last time we played, Orlando, he took home his first Rip It title of the season.
Felt good, man. Felt
Jared
good.
Was pondering who to hate more, James Harden or Nate Hansen.
That's right.
He's still pondering.
I now have a new question. Given what the Rockets pulled this week, do you hate James Harden more or me more?
Oh, man, definitely James Harden.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to fire up the DeLorean. We're going to go way back in time to recap our Rip It game from November 21st.
Oh,
wow. Awesome.
Simpler time.
It seems so long ago.
I feel like I was five years younger.
I really, really, really want to win this week. Because I know if I don't, Nate's just going to keep tormenting me.
I hope Jared in 5 minutes from now is shook from how poor his Rip It performance was.
I'm rooting for you, Jared. Come on.
See, it's always you two against me. It always goes down like this. Newcomer to the ship.
All right, well, here's where we start. We're going back to that Bucks game.
Oh, man.
Which was very surprising for many reasons. First question here, over under 12 points for Carmelo Anthony. All three of you went over, and this was an easy over. He scored 18 points.
Nice.
In the game against the Bucks.
Well done, guys. We're all on the board to start off. No zeros this
Set
week.
Set the tone. Set
well
the
done,
tone.
Mello.
Absolutely. Next question, same game. Over under 103.5 points for the Blazers. Orlando. You said there's just going to be a ton of garbage time, so you went over.
Good call.
Nate joined you on the over.
Yeah,
Jared, you
it.
Went under.
Oh, that is too bad, Jared.
And this game surprised everybody. The Blazers
Besides
put,
me in Orlando.
Well, the Blazers put up 129.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's a lot of buckets.
In the loss to the Bucks.
I was way off.
What did CJ have, like 38 or something?
Yeah.
Anyway,
cooking.
Way over. We move now to the loss in Cleveland.
Oh,
the question
do we
here,
have to go back to that? I thought
this was
that's what the first 45 minutes of this podcast was for, is to just completely wipe away that.
Well, we
got to
revisit it one last time. The question here, most rebounds, Kevin Love, Hassan Whiteside, or Tristan Thompson?
I think I may have got this.
You might have.
Nate, you did get this.
Yeah, baby!
It was Tristan Thompson.
Yes.
Nate said Thompson, and he was the only one of the three who played.
Yep.
Welcome.
Jared, are you flirting with perfection right
now? I'm 3 for 3 to start off. Jared is not looking so good over
Jared
there.
Jared smartly called for Kevin Love to have an audition for the Blazers, but he was ruled out.
He was auditioning with that nice suit.
Orlando took a gamble on Whiteside. He also was still not back yet.
Man.
So
we hadn't even talked about that when you made that pick about whether he would play or not, and you still went with him.
Yeah. Had to mix it up.
You did. Tristan, my boy.
Next question. Blazers at Bulls. This was a win. The question, was who scored the most points, Rodney Hood, Wendell Carter Jr., or Anfernee Simons?
Oh.
We know who Nate picked because Simons was involved. He picked Simons. Jared, you went with Wendell Carter because he was on your fantasy team. Orlando, just to be different, went with Rodney Hood.
I think you got it.
And Rodney Hood scored 16 points. Carter with 12, Simons with 2.
Yeah, that did. Anfernee is struggling right now. He's hitting a little bit of a wall, but he'll be back and better than ever.
He will.
Oh, man, I'm still going to have a zero on that.
Yes.
It's now between me and Orlando here for this last question.
The wild card question.
Ooh, the wild card.
And this question was, how many Blazers will score in double figures against the Bulls?
I struggled with this one, too.
Jared, you said 4. Orlando agreed with 4. And Nate, you waffled between 3 and 5 because you wanted to be different, and you settled on 3.
Oh, no, I should have gone the other way probably.
So against the Bulls, we had Damian Lillard
scoring
in double figures with 13. C.J. McCollum with 21, Hassan Whiteside with 13, Carmelo Anthony with 25, Rodney Hood, as we talked about, with 16, and Scal.
Wow, dang. 6.
Putting up 12 points, 6 now Blazers in double figures. Nobody gets it.
Yeah, but you know who gets the win?
Nobody.
Nobody, Jared.
Because Orlando and Jared tied, or Orlando and Nate, rather, tied with 3 out of 5.
I mean the overall win. Oh, wait, you guys both got 3?
Yeah, we both had 3.
Oh, I thought you only had 2.
No.
No, we have a tie. Jared, you got 1.
Ties one go out to of max.
Hey, 1's better than 0, Jared. You're working your way up here. You know, 3's a little bit away from 1, but you'll get there someday.
So it took us a while to recap that one, but no Rip It champion.
Oh, no. I feel less bad about that. If it was 5, I would have hit myself on the head. But at 6, I would have never guessed.
That was a shocker.
And also, at the time we were doing that, we were still in like depressed Blazers mode when we made that pick. So 5 double figure scores seemed way too many.
I was rooting for 5 because I was basically saying, mark my words, you're going to regret this. You should have went 5.
That's right. That's right. And I don't think any of you considered Anthony as a possible candidate for the double figures.
Yeah, I don't know if we did. I can't recall
that. That's probably a no.
See, I think that I still feel okay because we've had so many ties on Rip It this season that we're still just 1 win for Nate, 1 win for Orlando, and I've got
you're
0,
right there.
But, you know, I can bring it right back right now.
I have a message for Matthew and the kids. I was close to getting you it this week. I'm going to do it now. This is where it happens. I'm coming with that Rip It championship.
All right, here we go. Let's get to this week's game, and we are starting with Friday night's game against the Lakers.
All right.
First question here. Which team will shoot a better 3-point percentage in the game? Now, both these two teams are shooting around 36% from 3 on the season. So who's going to shoot it better? Orlando, let's start with you. What do you think?
I'll take the home team. Let's do Portland.
Jared?
Let's go with Lakers.
All right, Nate?
Well, I'm not siding with Jared, so let's go with the Blazers here.
All right, next question. Same game. Which total will be greater? Points scored by the suddenly hot Kent Bazemore.
He had 15 last night.
He's averaging 12 and shooting over 50% in the last 2 games. So points scored by Bazemore or assists by LeBron James?
Oh, this is a good question.
Averaging about 11 assists a game, leading the league, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
So what do you think, Nate?
Well, I got to go with my boy LeBron here. I'm always a LeBron guy.
I had a feeling you would.
Yeah, go
Jared?
LeBron.
I'm going to go with Bazemore. I mean, he might start if Rodney Hood's Achilles keeps him out.
It's true.
Tomorrow. Mm.
I'm going to gamble a little bit, too. I'll take Kent Bazemore. I think LeBron is going to be sitting on the bench for a while in this game.
That's a good call.
Oh, that's what he said. See, I don't think it's going to be that big of a blowout.
Here's one thing to think about with Baze. What if he starts hitting shots?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, he has in the last 2 games.
But what if he keeps it up?
Yeah, that would add a complete.
That's the guy we thought.
Yeah.
That's the guy we thought he was going to be.
It'd be a great insurance policy for them in case one of their starters has a bad night.
Right.
All right, moving on to the Blazers versus the Thunder. Little revenge game narrative for Carmelo Anthony here.
Oh, that's right.
Over under 19.5 points for Anthony against his old team.
That's tough.
He's had four games this season with 20 or more points. He does it again.
Orlando's going over. Nate, where are you going?
I want to go with Orlando.
This is a good question.
I'm going to go under, though. I'm going to go under. I'm going to say he ends up like 16 or 18.
All right. Jared?
Oh, man. I want to go over, but I'm going to go under.
That feels like a 50-50 question.
Yeah, that's a good number.
When do they play the Rockets again? Like, I want to see Melo against the Rockets. like him and James Harden may have the same usage rate in that game.
Oh, yeah, they're be calling that. Oh, you want to see ISO ball?
Yeah.
You came to the right place,
you're
baby.
You're going to be getting in that one.
Well, the revenge narrative continues because the Blazers are playing the Knicks next. Could be another revenge game for Melo. Over, under, 2.5 three-pointers for Carmelo Anthony against the Knicks.
Attempts or makes?
Makes.
That's a lot of makes.
He's got to make three for the over.
I'm going to go with the under. I'm sorry, right. Melo.
Jared?
I'm also going to go with the under.
Orlando?
Let's have some fun this week.
All right, he's shooting his shot. Yep. He's going over.
We'll go over.
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe during this like 5-game stretch where the Blazers have been winning, he's been making about 1.5 and only taking about 3 during this stretch, which may be why he's been a little more successful in terms of shooting the ball. Fingers crossed that continues.
Yep.
So I can beat Orlando.
3 to the dome, baby.
There you go.
All right, wild card question time. We're staying with the Knicks game. How many Blazers will score in double figures against the Knicks?
Oh, gosh. This is a true wild card question here.
Orlando's putting up four.
You're sticking with four?
He's sticking with four.
Four.
All right, we locked it in. Jared, what are you saying?
I'm close. Oh, man.
You gonna go six? Anybody going seven?
You go seven. I'm sure. I'm closer to six than I am four. Yeah.
All right, Jared, what do you think?
Five.
Nate?
Yeah, Anthony Simons bounces back. Six.
Wow.
Yeah. Six.
I love it.
I love
could
it,
happen.
Too.
I mean, if the Blazers take care of business,
you get Scal, Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, the bench gets a lot more playing time. And
maybe Nasir Little will come in with a nice little 11-point performance and sneak in.
That's easier than you think. All right. It's good to be back. That wraps up another week of Rip It, and we will find out how you did next week.
Twitter handles, please.
You can find me at Jared Cowley.
That's what we're doing now for that. We're not even. We're just Twitter handles, please. Yeah, at least you said please. At @nhands_kgw.
You can find me at Max N Bar. And these are also a great way for you to send us your questions.
Absolutely.
Just hit us up on Twitter. Orlando, what about
it's
you?
It's practical as well. Orlando KGW on Twitter.
What voice was that you just said that in?
I don't know.
I've never heard that before.
I'm in a
it was very soothing.
Happy place here.
Yeah.
I got my Rip It fix for the week.
You didn't even win.
Yeah, but he
that's
got his
how
fix.
Powerful Rip It is.
Needs. He just needs the game.
And Max, anytime he can get a win on Rip It, I'm here for it.
I'm not happy about the tie, for the record.
I love it.
I want to give out titles here.
Yes, I want him to give titles to me.
The questions are so good.
I also told Jared before we record this podcast, I want him to have 0 Rip It wins going into the new decade. So that's how long I'm hoping this streak lasts.
Wow, just an extremely negative way to end the podcast.
Yes.
I thought that was taking it a little too far.
Yes. Jared, I do. We do get along well.
We actually do.
We get along.
I don't know if,
this is easily the meanest
friends.
We are to each other on this podcast. That's why it's like Dame and Nurk. Like Dame can be really tough on Nurk because they're like best buds. That's like me and Jared, best buds.
Well, I hope you guys keep up appearances because it makes for good podcasts. So make sure to pick up the pod, subscribe, give us those 5-star ratings, positive reviews. Haters, I still want you to subscribe. Do what you do. We'll be better next. See you next time.